We're now going to do a lot more examples of individual statements and arguments just to get you acquainted so you feel comfortable with this stuff. Let's try some sample sentences that force you to think a little about how to put them into symbols. Let's try this one. Apples and oranges are delicious and nutritious. We're going to use the obvious AX, apple, OX, orange, delicious, D and N, nutritious. Apples and oranges are delicious and nutritious. The first thing you have to decide is whether this is a statement about an individual. Is it an existential quantifier? There is one X such that, or is it talking about all of them? It is all, isn't it? But if you write down, given any X, if X is an apple and X is an orange, then X is delicious and nutritious. You will have an absurdity, won't you? There is no X which is an apple and an orange. And it's a true statement. You don't want it to come out absurd. What do we change here in order to make this work? I hope that you answered that the and here is wrong. Although the word and appears in the English sentence, apples and oranges, what this really means is, given any X, if X is an apple or an orange, then it's delicious and nutritious. See that? An apple or either one. Let's try another one that'll make you think. Some foods are edible only if cooked. And let's use the obvious food, edible, cooked. F-E-C. Some foods are edible only if cooked. First of all, is it existential or universal? Some. It tells you right away with the very first word. We're only talking about at least one thing, not all. Some thing is a food, and the description of this food is it's edible only if cooked. So how do we finish that? Only if. Remember, acceptives? What follows the if in the sentence is cooked. If cooked. But since it says only, you flip the order of the antecedent and the consequent. If it was edible, if cooked edible, would say anything that's cooked is edible. But we don't want that. We want only if edible, if it's edible, then it was cooked. From which it follows, by modus tollens, if it's not cooked, it's not edible. That's the same move we've been making all along for acceptives. In only if, you take what follows the if, and normally you'd put that to the left of the arrow, and what follows then to the right of the arrow, and you reverse their order to convey the only if. So this is correct here. There's at least one thing as a food, and the description of it is it's edible only if cooked. This doesn't violate the rule of thumb that I gave you, that following an existential quantifier, the main truth functional connective is almost always and. It still is. Doesn't mean you can't have other things in here. The main one is and. Following a universal quantifier, the main connective is almost always if then. That's, again, it's not a hard and fast rule. It's what you most often find, 99.9% of the time. Let's try a few more. Any tall man is attractive if he's dark and handsome. And we're going to use the obvious again. Any tall man is attractive, if dark, and handsome. There you are. And we'll use TX, MX, AX, DX, so on. The obvious. This one's a little longer and make you think a bit more. Figure out what's the subject. First of all, how is it quantified? Is it universal or existential? Well, the very first word gives that away, doesn't it? It's any man, given any X, if X is a man. And what's it say about him? It says, well, if he's a man, then if he is tall and dark and handsome, then he's attractive. The predicate of the sentence isn't always the last thing in the sentence. In this case, it's right after the subject. Any man is attractive, provided he's tall, dark, and handsome. So attractive goes all the way to the right. It's the predicate. The subject is man. The predicate is attractive. And on the condition that, he is if he's tall and dark and handsome. It's probably not true, but that doesn't matter. This is the right way to formulate it. He could be tall, dark, handsome, and dumb as a post. Maybe he wouldn't be attractive. Here's another. Let's try this one. A gladiator wins if and only if he's lucky. And we'll use the obvious GX for a gladiator, WX for wins, and LX for lucky. A gladiator wins. First of all, is it universal or existential? It doesn't give it away here. It doesn't say some or all or any. It doesn't have any of those giveaway words. It starts a gladiator. Does it mean any gladiator or a specific one? Means any, doesn't it? Any gladiator wins if and only if he's lucky. That may or may not be true. We're not worried about that. We're worried about the right way to formulate the sentence. So the subject of the sentence is certainly universal, and it's gladiator. And then there's a description of the gladiator. For any X that's a gladiator, he wins if and only if lucky. How do you translate if and only if? Do you remember? We've been over it several times. If and only if is the biconditional. It's the two-way arrow. If he wins, he's lucky. If he's lucky, he wins. These are equivalent. So, wins if and only if he's lucky. And then we need this X, the quantifier, to go over not just this, but this and this. So we need brackets to send it over the whole formula. I hope that's clear. Let's try another one, closely related, but a little more challenging. A boxer who wins if and only if he's lucky is not skillful. A boxer who wins, we're going to use again, obviously, a boxer who wins if and only if he's lucky is not skillful. We'll use BX, WX, LX, and SX. For skillful. How are we going to do that? And once again, is it universal or particular? It's any boxer, isn't it? Any boxer who wins if and only if he's lucky. So it's going to be universal again. Given any X, if X is a boxer, then what? Well, if he wins if and only if he's lucky, then he's not skillful. So not skillful is the predicate. Boxer, Here are the conditions under which. This is the further description. Then he's not skillful. So how are we going to do wins if and only if lucky? Well, the same way we did it here. Wins if and only if lucky. So here's the description of the boxer. Let's see. Nope, put the bracket there. Wrong. Given in the X, facts the boxer. Then, if he wins if and only if he's lucky, then he's not skillful. Here's the subject, description of the subject, the predicate. You could say it's the modification of the subject. Boxer, but a certain subclass of boxers, ones that win if and only if they're lucky, then they are not skillful. I hope this stuff is getting clearer as we see more examples. Let's try this one. Not all people who are wealthy are both educated and cultured. We need some more room here. All right. We have PX for people. Not all people who are educated are... Not all people who are wealthy are both educated and cultured. So we'll have PX for people, WX for wealthy, EX for educated, CX for cultured. Not all. So you know right away that you don't want to start it like this, not all, and then write, right? You're not going to write all people who are wealthy are educated and cultured, and then put a not in front of the whole thing, because that's not normal form. So we prefer not to do that. So it's going to be some. There's at least one human being, one person, who is wealthy, but is not both educated and cultured. And then we need to send the quantifier over the whole thing, not just over these, but these two. So it needs brackets. I hope things are clearing up. The mists are being dispelled. And the light of day is shining in. Let's try another. Not all tools that are cheap are either soft or breakable. Not all tools that are cheap. And here we'll use TX for tool, CX for cheap, SX soft, and BX breakable. Not all tools that are cheap are soft or breakable. Again, is it about the whole class? No, it's about some. There's at least one tool that can be described this way. So there exists a tool that is cheap, but is not soft or breakable. No, that's not right. The knot goes here. There's a tool that's cheap, but is either not soft or not breakable. That's the way I read this. Not all tools that are cheap are either soft or breakable. Yeah, it doesn't want to deny both. It doesn't want to say they're neither. It wants to say they're not either not soft or not breakable. Any person is a coward who deserts. And we'll use, again, the most obvious key. The person, coward, deserts. Any person is a coward who deserts. So is it talking about a specific person? Obviously not. It's anyone who is like this. So it begins with universal quantifier. Given any X, if X is a person, then what? If the person deserts, then the person is a coward. So we have a conditional within a conditional. There's sometimes some authors call this a nested conditional. We have if this, then that. Of course, there are other ways to do it. I mean, by the rule exportation, you already know that you could write it this way. If anyone if there's any person who deserts, then the person is a coward. Those are absolutely equivalent by the rule exportation. P implies Q implies R is P and Q implies R. Equivalent. Okay. I think it's do us some good to take a few more samples. In fact, take some samples of arguments as well. Just let me get some room clear on the board and we'll do that. Can we take a minute? Okay. All right. Let's go ahead with some samples. Here's one. It's an argument, short one. Premise one. Anyone who is endorsed by labor or opposed by the tribune cannot get the farm vote. All right. Anyone, so it's given anyone, given any X, if X is endorsed by labor or opposed by the tribune, then they can't get the farm vote. That's premise one. Premise two. If someone can't get the farm vote, they can't get elected. Anyone who can't get the farm vote can't be elected. Therefore, anyone who is opposed by the tribune cannot be elected. Now, this takes some serious messing around if you don't use conditional proof. I'm not sure it can't be solved without it. I think it can, but that's That's judgment based on experience. There's no way for you to tell. So this is a case in which we can use it, so we will. Always use it wherever possible. So what we want to do is, after we instantiate these two, is to take the OX over there. So we're going to do UI of line one, E-A-R-O-A, yields not F-A, UI, universal instantiation of line one, then universal instantiation of line two, is this not F-A, yields, implies not E-A, that's UI of two. And then for the first step we're going to make here is to put down OA. And that's conditional proof. And now, to OA, we can add EA addition to 5. Then we do modus ponens and get FA, not FA, modus ponens of 6 and 3, line 8. Modus ponens again, we get not EA, modus ponens 7 and 4. And then for step 9, we say OA implies EA, CP again. OA implies not EA, CP. And now we're ready for a UG step. And remember, we're allowed to universally generalize over A. We're allowed to change it to, given any x, O of x yields not E of x, UG, provided that the letter we're generalizing over, the constant we're generalizing, has not been introduced free by EI. There's no EI step. Does not occur free in the conclusion. There are no free A's in the conclusion. And does not occur free in any premise of the line to be generalized. And here are the premises of the line to be generalized. And the only other thing there is the CP step itself. So this is cool. We can generalize over A and write, given any X, O of X implies not E of X. And this uses the CP, the conditional proof rule. It's a very short and simple argument, but it's a good example for us. How are we on time? We're not sure. Okay, thanks. We have time for another one. I know you're delighted to hear that. here's another one that I think you'll enjoy. Getting the examples is harder than doing them. Well, for me anyway. Okay, let's take this. I'm going to give you the argument, and I want you to work it out. All right, it goes. Therefore, This will be the, I'll put the conclusion down here. All right. Now I'm still going to need to take this off so to have the room to put the rest of the proof up. But this is an argument, again, in which you can and should use conditional proof. I'm not sure I copied that right. Here it is. I didn't. I left something out. Okay. Give us another break so I can clear some room on the board. Okay. Now, this is a translation of the following argument. A book is interesting only if well written. Given any X the book, and then if well written, the well written follows the if. So normally it's to the left of the arrow. And it would be interesting would be to the right. But because it's only if they're switched. Any book is interesting only if well written. A book, if any book is well written, it is interesting. So if for any book, if it's either interesting or well written, it's both interesting and well-written. And that's obviously a valid argument. So what we need to do to construct the proof of this is to begin instantiating with lines 1 and 2. So line 3 is going to be B of A. If B of A, then I of A, then W A. And that is UI of 1. We're going to do the same thing here. BA implies WA implies IA. UI of 2. And then we are entitled to a conditional proof step. In fact, we're entitled to more than one. Here's an implication, here's an implication. We're entitled to take the antecedent. So we write down here, B of A, conditional proof. And now, it's a piece of cake, isn't it? You do modus ponens and you get this, I implies W A, modus ponens of 5 and 3, do modus ponens again, you get W, A implies I, A, modus ponens of 5 and 4, and then you can join. Now, I don't think you even need to do that. Yes, you can join these two. I implies W, and W implies I. Conjunction of 6 and 7 No, it's, yeah. Yes. Conjunction of 6 and 7. And then for line 9, you're going to do equivalence of line 8. And another way to write this, I implies W, W implies I, is to write it, because that makes them equivalent. They could be rewritten this way. Or it could be rewritten as both are true or both are false. And you don't really need to do this one first to do the other. So I'm going to take it off. I'm just showing you there are three forms of writing down the two things are equivalent to each other. And no one is the right way and the other is derivative. They're all equal. So line 8 is equivalent to either IA and WA are both true. Or they're both false. That's another way to write that. Okay, and I am entitled now to take a second P step and write I, A, or W. I, A, or W, A. That's also a P step. And if I do De Morgan's theorem and double negation on this, I get not I, A, and De Morgan's with double negation tossed in, of course. And now I get a disjunctive syllogism, and I get I, A, and W, A. Disjunctive syllogism of 10 and 11. And now, of course, I can do the first P step, and that is I, A, or W, A, imply I, A, and W, A. That's the C step of the CP. And then I can do it again with the first one. I can get B, A implies this entire line. And then in 15, I get the UG, I do the UG step because there's no free A in any line introduced by EI. There are no EI lines. There's no free A in the conclusion, and there's no free A in any premise of this line because P steps are not premises to C steps. So this comes, BX implies that X or WX implies that IX and WX. And this is also, this is UG of 14. Now that's a longer than we've ever had before, but it illustrates the kind of thing that we're going to be getting. And the fact that it's longer doesn't make it any harder. It isn't any harder. It's longer only because you have to do instantiation steps and generalization at the end. It adds to the length, but not the difficulty. So I commend to you that you practice. Practice, practice. Come back and we'll do some more next time.